With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. If you are celebrating this weekend / tomorrow, I hope that you're stuffing your face with the most delicious food ever and feeling full but not bloated and just like totally content. And if you're not celebrating Thanksgiving over the weekend, I hope you're still stuffing your face with delicious food and feeling full but not bloated as well. One note before I start is that I just want to say a huge, huge, huge thank you to everyone who has been a supporter of mine on Patreon. You guys have made it possible for me to do this podcast over the past couple months, and I'm just so grateful for you all, and I really appreciate your support, and my mind is blown at the amount of people who have come forward to support this podcast. It just is like, it's incredible to me. So thank you so much. You guys are my heroes. And I would also like to take a moment and thank my premium sponsors, Johnny Smith, William Jones, Meredith Good, and Jenna Griffin. Thanks to you guys, it's all happening. If you're interested in becoming a patron of Sex Unique Podcast, you can visit www.patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast for more info. And now, without further ado, here's an extra special episode of SUP. You're listening to the Sexy Unique Podcast.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm
like
your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. Then we girl with a friend, you be both in. Hotel chilling, yeah, she's
sweet. Well,
hi.
Hi. Please welcome Nomi Fry to the podcast.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh my God, I'm so thrilled to be here.
Like, okay, so you were a guest on Pumped back in the day.
Yes.
But your episode never got released.
It never aired. It's the lost episode.
It's a true lost yeah. episode, which is sad, but now we're writing that wrong and we are doing this now.
Yeah.
And we get to be IRL instead of like...
That's true, because I was calling in from New York last time, but now I'm actually in Lara's pad, mm-hmm. beautiful pad.
On the couch. And the reason we were able to connect is because you wrote that amazing piece about Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, I did. This was about a year and a half ago. I wrote this, there's a weekly column in the New York Times Sunday magazine, which is called Letter of Recommendation. Every week, a different writer recommends something, and it's like a little essay. And I recommended Vanderpump Rules, which is everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And and so that's how I, you know, at least briefly became like mainstream media's
the it girl
for Vanderpump Rules,
yeah.
featured in the New York Times.
An intellectual.
Yeah.
But you prove, so on the last episode of the podcast that I did, my friend Carrie O'Donnell was on and we were talking about how Vanderpump Rules is a show for geniuses.
Like, I think so.
It truly is like, it's a show for intellectuals.
I think so.
And there's so much to talk about. It's so rich. There's so much like deep psychological shit that's going on.
Yeah.
And like, so, and you were really the first person that ever gave a voice to that and an opinion to that.
Right. I mean, I think it's a really rich text and it tells us a lot about where we are as a country, where we are as a culture.
Yeah.
And it's just like, life is better when Vanderpump is on the air.
It is.
Like, I really feel every time like a cycle ends, like a season ends, I feel my mood like flatlining. I become sort of drawn and more quiet and a little bit depressed. You know, things
totally.
Go a little bit dark, let's face it. And then when the air date for, you know, the premiere is announced for the new season, mm-hmm. I just like perk up right away.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There is.
Yeah.
And I like that it airs kind of during the darkest winter months.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you, it like is a way to combat seasonal depression.
Yeah. And it's especially for those of us like myself who live on the East Coast, you know, it lets us in on this eternal summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a California of the mind, if you will.
It is.
Yeah.
And you, so when, one of my favorite moments too with the article you wrote was when Andy Cohen read it aloud to the cast.
Yes.
Because you like didn't mince words. You were basically, the most like poignant statement was that these people, and you probably know better than I do, but like they stagnate, you watch them stagnate in right. their own, like in a mess of their own making, and they never kind of mature or get learn from their mistakes or anything.
Right.
And that was kind of your central thesis, was it not?
Yes. So it was more about, yeah, it was about kind of an arrested development, I guess, where these people were usually what were used to is stories of progression, at least, you know, when we're thinking about kind of cultural texts, we follow people growing wiser and getting older and having families and, you know, like proceeding in their career and stuff. And I think the point of Vanderpump in a way is kind of that these people, of course they have ambitions as people. I'm separating that from like what we see on the
yeah,
show.
Obviously, like they're like,
right. So, but the characters they play, it's like even in the fact that they constantly date each other, you know, it's like this sort of like cycle, never ending cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still all around the restaurant, even though, of course, some of them are doing sort of slightly different things, but it's unclear exactly what they're doing. It's definitely like still features as the hub, you know, this place that they've worked at since
yeah.
some of them, their early 20s, and now a lot of them are in their 30s. And so, I kind of figured it as a way to think about it as like what the pleasure of watching the show is, because I think you said it's a show for people who are, I mean, I don't know if it's intellectuals or whatever, and of course, like a whole bunch of different types of people watch
yeah.
the show, but I think the pleasure is for sort of stressed out, neurotic, like ambitious, overachieving people to watch the show is to say, okay, let's like take a break. It's like smoking a joint or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like let's sit with it for a second. And so it's not a bad thing necessarily, but yeah, but you're right. I didn't mince words in the sense that I was like, yeah, they're not moving forward.
Yeah.
At least on the show.
At least on the show.
Yeah.
Because now what's interesting is they seem to be, because I think it's an interesting crossroads, because every reality show comes to a point, if it gets popular enough, that like the people on the show actually achieve like fame
mm-hmm.
and some money, and then like can pursue what career ambitions they want.
Right.
So they're kind of at that crossroads
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm.
but still in the world of the show, they're all very much tied to Sir, which
yeah.
I think is just like, that's like a facade. Like that's
right,
not
of course.
Real. But I'm like, I guess I ask myself, this is like, would you be okay if these people like succeed in their life? Like, is that what you want truly?
I'm torn, I guess, because on the one hand, of course, I only wish them the best. They're like my favorite people.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with them. But on the other hand, I'm wondering how it would really work in the show if they suddenly, I mean, you know, I think one of the examples or one of the potentials that we're going to encounter this season that I'm curious about is kind of the Tom-Tom
mm-hmm.
subplot, where like, okay, so are they going to really, supposedly at least, I don't know if this is real or not, like
open
a restaurant,
be
and
business
like,
partners.
Be business partners with Lisa.
Yeah.
And you see like Sandoval being more, you know, gung-ho about it. And on the other hand, you see Schwartz, who's always like, no, man, I can't do it. I just want to like, I don't know, like model, like menswear, you know, sort of mm-hmm. like mid-range menswear in the valley.
Kind of jump around and point at things while
yeah.
people take pictures of me.
Right, right. God bless him.
I mean,
I love him.
He must make good money for that.
Yeah, no, and I support that. But so the question is really, yeah, so I guess I'm torn. I don't know, a part of me would like it to remain the one still point in a turning world where
mm-hmm.
like you know, everything changes, and like especially now things are so fucking crazy and in the country, in the world, and you just feel like you can't even keep up. And so you need that one constant of like, we can always trust Schwartz to like do those modeling jobs or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more things change, the more they stay the same
right.
with that crowd. Like, and that there is just like a constant.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they're definitely like, they're moving on up in the world.
Yeah. And I'm happy for them. And I think maybe, you know, I mean, even if we think about, you know, this was conceived, obviously. I mean, this is like an offshoot of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it was supposed to be for the younger crowd. It was supposed to be for the less affluent, or like representing at least the less affluent crowd of like servers and, you know, kind of aspirants rather mm-hmm. than like already like wealthy, successful, I guess, or yeah. at least, yeah, rich people. But I guess, you know, if we take like, say The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as an example, things change for them too. And yet something about the dynamics will always be reliably stagnant,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe the same thing can happen for our friends on Vanderpump.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wish that they would show us more of what their life looks like outside of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Cause mm-hmm. I just think it's such a tired, like, who is believing that they actually like
right.
care enough to work there.
Right.
But I mean, I'll take whatever I can get.
No, I really will take whatever I can get.
Yeah.
But Lara, you have told me in the past that you've seen some of them at the Sweat Garage.
Yeah, I've seen Jax and Brittany working out at Sweat Garage.
Did you do a class with them?
I did. I didn't, because I'm on Class Pass, so I just mm-hmm. kind of go wherever and then reach my limit and then go to a new gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so right before the summer, like right as the season 5 was ending, mm-hmm. they were going to Sweat Garage a lot together. So I
feel like they did
times.
Some sort of challenge. I remember seeing on Instagram, they maybe did like a 30-day challenge.
Yeah.
And Jax was talking about becoming more cut and defined, mm-hmm. going back to the
he
real
was trying
Jax.
To lose the bloat and kind Losing of get the back bloat, to season 1 Jax.
Getting back to season 1 Jax.
Which I think is a goal maybe that he should revise and like just I think he should just focus on like future Jax, because I don't think there's any going back to season 1 Jax.
Right. I mean, too much has happened. Let's yeah. face it.
His body composition is like entirely different yeah. than it was in season 1.
Right.
But so they were together for a while, but then I noticed that they stopped going together and it was only Jax going for a while. So my theory, and the theory that a lot of people had, that, or like the few people had that watched Jax and Brittany take Kentucky.
Right.
The four people.
Which I have to admit I didn't watch.
Well, but, yeah. hey, I don't yeah. fault anyone for that.
Right. Were there a lot of hijinks on the show?
Not really.
It wasn't a hijinks show. It wasn't like the donkey kicks him as he like tries to like bail up pay or.
No, they kind of tried to do that, but they never like fully committed to those hijinks. And then it was just like, it felt very forced,
right,
with like a lot of forced storylines, and then it just like descended into utter darkness because you realize that Jax is like kind of an abuser and
oh
like,
really okay
a bit evil yeah. to Brittany,
yeah,
and she's in a situation where like her family doesn't take her side whenever they fight, like they
of
take
course.
Jax's side,
yeah, because that makes sense,
yeah, and yeah. like, and so Brittany just no one has her back. And so I think she's in a constant.
I like her.
I like her too. But yeah. I think she's in this like vacuum of thinking that she's the problem in the relationship.
Right.
When it's like, you're not.
Right.
You're dating Jax, the ultimate problem.
Right. The ultimate problem.
Yeah. So
maybe that can be the next spinoff, but just for him.
Yeah.
Jax, the ultimate problem.
Yeah. Where he like dates women. I wish he and Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval would like move back into a house together.
I know, and the rooms would be separated by sheets, mm-hmm. and they would have to hear like Jax grunting,
yeah.
like as he, you know, makes love to the whichever lady. Like
that seems like an iconic time period.
I know,
like the sheet.
I wish
girls
we had a time machine.
I know, to just be a fly on the wall to like go back for an after hours. Chug of Jameson or
I know
Fireball at that apartment.
Oh, I can't. I mean, yeah, I can't even imagine.
It's like
things.
A historical. It should be like an LA preserved
a
historical
landmark.
Building. Yeah, because
a landmark.
They've lived in it for like 10 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you know where that apartment
was? Yeah, I know
was?
Where it is.
Okay, mm-hmm. maybe we need to make a pilgrimage.
Yeah, I can show you.
Okay, good.
I was thinking at one point, I was like, maybe I should do a Vanderpump Rules like tour. Because I know.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And then just like have people sign up to go on the tour with me.
Right.
I can drive them all over. It can include, the price can include a drink, a cocktail, like each location.
Right. Right. Or also like, yeah, it would be the location. So like the Sex and the City tour mm-hmm. in the West Village where you go to Magnolia and the price includes a cupcake and yeah. all of that. So you could do that. So you would go to different bars and like have a like an overpriced, not very good cocktail.
Yeah.
And maybe like to the weed dispensary.
We could go to MedMen.
MedMen, exactly.
We could go to Mixology, site of many fights.
Yes.
I can take you to the place where Katie and Schwartz got in a fight and he poured a beer on her head.
Iconic.
I can take you to their apart. I can take you to Tom and Katie's apartment.
Yeah.
And Jax and Brittany's apartment building.
Yeah.
I can take you by Schwartz and Ariana's apartment building.
I think that's like a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I feel like
people would do it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you've got it.
I love it.
Yeah.
A new business.
A new business venture.
I never saw tour guide in my like personal future, but now I'm really feeling it.
I mean, right. Yeah. yeah. But
it's a natural progression.
It's a natural progression.
Yeah.
It's a natural progression.
Wait, how did you get into the show?
Well, I've always been into Bravo. Bravo mm-hmm. is like, I should say I don't watch all the iterations of Real Housewives. Beverly Hills is my favorite because mm-hmm. I'm like obsessed with Los Angeles. So, I mean, I initially started, you know, the first, like the Orange County, you know, I just mm-hmm. like started watching whenever like a new one came out, you know, like whatever it was like 10 years ago, 8 years ago. And
Beverly Hills was your favorite?
Beverly Hills was my favorite. I believe I even watched like when Slade Smiley dated Joe. I think they had like a short-lived...
oh my God,
wasn't there like a short-lived spinoff?
I feel like
Did I dream this?
I don't know.
I feel like there was something.
It could have been
something.
Like an hour-long special or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So you go way back.
I go really way back. I think it started when I was... I was in grad school and the television was my only friend. And it was a dark period in my life. And basically all I wanted to do was, so that's when I think I was still in grad school when Orange County started coming out.
Okay.
And this was like pre-recession mm-hmm. Or just pre-recession.
Yeah, it's
you
like
know?
2006
and 7. So it was like kind of like dancing on the precipice of like a volcano, mm-hmm. essentially. So I started with that. This is too much information, probably.
No,
but then
I like to know everyone's whole history because I fully believe like everyone has a different path that leads them to Vanderpump.
Yeah. So I think so. At that point, I watched that, and I also, well, this was earlier when I got to grad school. I remember my favorite reality show was. The Real World Vegas. This was like 2003, I believe, with Trishelle,
yeah.
aka the sluttiest season.
Mm-hmm.
So
and everyone called her Trashelle, which Trashelle. Was rude.
I know, very rude. Mm-hmm. Alton, Earline. I don't know if you remember those stars. Steven, Bryn.
That wasn't my favorite season. Mine was. I was a Real World Hawaii.
Oh,
like
I loved
Ruthie. And
yeah.
I've always been really attracted to like alcoholic drama and like drug addiction drama in reality TV.
Me
so
too.
That's
oh my
like,
God.
That was a big touchstone for me.
Yeah, that was great. So there was a lot of like, there was maybe more kind of like sex, vulgar sex in the Vegas iteration. But what I loved about Vegas, I later on continued to seek out
mm-hmm.
in Bravo shows.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where like Vanderpump comes in. So yeah. So Beverly Hills Housewives was my favorite.
The first season of that is truly iconic.
Iconic.
It
iconic.
Builds to the most beautiful climax, like at the end where Kim and Kyle fight in the back
in
of the limo.
Yeah. It's so Jackie Collins.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's so
Hollywood
incredible.
Wives.
It's Hollywood Wives.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. So that was incredible. And then I heard that there's a spinoff coming. And at first I have to say, I wasn't that enthused. I was like, oh, I don't know. I feel like I only got into it, God help me, please everybody forgive me for this. I feel like it was only the second season that I realized what we had here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and I got like the first season on Amazon and I watched the whole thing and I was like, this is iconic.
Yeah.
This is like an incredible show and I can't believe, I still think maybe... The second season, the best?
Like, it's the best, yeah.
The second season is when it's revealed that Jax and Kristen slept together.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable television.
That yeah.
And there's like a, there's a thing where.
You see it through from the beginning of the rumor to
the completion.
Being proven true to the completion to the fallout.
Yeah.
Where everyone is just like reeling and dealing with it. And it's like. It's like, it's a masterpiece.
It's really a masterpiece. And there's the part where there's so many good moments that season. There's the part where like Tom, is it Tom reading the note? Did he write a note or did he read the note Jax wrote? Do you remember there's a thing where he reads out a note and he is crying and he reads it sort of haltingly. And it's like he's reading something for the first time.
Is that towards the end of the season?
Yes. It's when revealed. And okay. He's like, Jax, I can't believe
Is
you
it when
slept.
They meet on the beach?
Yes, on the beach.
Okay, yeah.
On the beach. And then Jax has like the total sociopath moment where he's like, I feel nothing. I regret nothing. It's such a beautiful thing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And he's like, Sandoval's like, did you guys use protection? And Jax goes, no. And like the devastation.
Yeah.
And then Tom and Sandoval and Kristen's relationship was like, that was also incredible to just watch the like demise of that 6-year relationship.
Yeah. Which is kind of unbelievable. It was 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like everyone knows that couple that like they really just hate each other,
but they're still together
because their lives are just like entangled and it's like easier to just suck it up and be together than like break up and move on.
Right.
And it's like, it's true cringe moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah. So that season is incredible. So I got into it the second season and then of course I went back and I watched the first season. And the first season they're still finding their legs.
Mm-hmm.
The second season was like epic. And then it's just, now it's like family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I just feel like it's like getting into like a warm bath.
It's cozy.
Where I can like fart, you know, and it's kind of, it feels really.
It's like a hug.
It's a warm hug.
Yeah.
Of farts.
Who's your favorite character on the show?
I think I have. Well, I mean, my favorite character, like, who would I hang out with in real life? Like,
who would you want to hang out with? Like,
okay.
If you had to forge, like, a meaningful, deep friendship and, like, rep someone as, like, your best friend, you text them, like, every day. And like,
I mean, I feel like probably realistically, it would be Schwartz, I think, because he's just, like, probably the most, like, a guy friend I'd have in real life.
Yeah.
Who's maybe a little bit like waffly on girls. Like I'd probably give him advice and be like, man up and like do X or Y.
Yeah.
But he'd be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
seems like he'd be a very loyal friend.
I feel like he's loyal and I feel like he's like, yeah, I just feel like probably that would be the easiest for me to get into. Real friendship wise.
I have a question.
Yes.
If you were friends with Schwartz like last season and you had to watch him going through all this stuff with Katie and it's like leading up to their wedding, where would you fall on like, and he's like comes to you, he's like, Nomi, I'm like flailing. Like what do I do? Like what do I do? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a really hard question. I feel like I would want to stay the fuck away from that conundrum and be like, listen. Well, I would just say I think at this point, like he'd gone so far in that it would be really bad if he had to like
pull out.
Yeah. So I think I would just say like, yeah, you have to man up and see this to completion because like, how could you not?
Yeah.
Like you would, for better or worse, you know, the relationship didn't look good in mm-hmm. all these past years, but like, you've come so far. Don't be like a dick.
You're
you know?
Still in it. Yeah.
You have to be
for
in
a
it.
Reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I think I would probably say that, like, you know, I mean, if it was earlier, I would probably say like, get out.
Mm-hmm. But no, but not if it's like.
But not I'm if it's like he's he, like saying he they're engaged and yeah. he like she's obviously wanted to be engaged and he like went there.
Like I'm talking about like if he came to you, like if you were in the friend group and you went on the big bachelor or bachelorette weekend
yeah.
and you're all at the picnic table and he's crying and the camera turns to you and it's like your turn to speak to the situation.
Right. Oh, and so that be, moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be like. You know, I don't know. That's a really hard thing because I think it was like a shitty, I mean, God bless. I hope they're doing better now, but it didn't look like a good relationship at that point.
Yeah.
But like at the same time.
That can lead us into, and I'm intrigued by your answer too of being like, you've made it this far. Like you need to just now do it because,
yeah.
and that's a good point that I rarely think about because it's like she had been saying for years that she wants to get married. She sees a future.
Yeah, just like don't be. I mean, he was like so weak-willed for yeah. such a long time.
And wishy-washy.
And finally he like manned up. And so he should have cut it short before if he didn't feel it. And now he's like, at least at that moment, he felt stuck. But you know what? Like you got to. I don't know. Like you've ruined your life. Just do it already. I don't know. I don't want to say that. Maybe it's, you know, and of course things are like spun certain ways and whatever. So
yeah,
I'm sure they have beautiful moments of connection and closeness.
Someone in the Facebook group had posted this article, which is interesting and relates to what we were talking about.
Okay.
So the Daily Dish, Bravo's website reports, "We all watched Katie Maloney Schwartz and Tom Schwartz say I do last season on Vanderpump Rules. It was an emotional and beautiful event, to say the least. And now the couple is offering some insight into how marriage is going these days. We're not happily ever after, Tom told reporters at the NBC Universal Press junket in Hollywood on Monday via Us Weekly. We still have a lot of work to do.
Oh my God.
The couple,
that's dark. That's I mean, really not that that's dark. Not true in any relationship, obviously. Like, it's not like anyone has a perfect relationship, but that's kind of amazing that he's just like straight up being like, listen, we hate each other.
They both, like, we're stuck. She goes on to say it too. The couple married in August 2016 in front of friends and family. Prior to getting married, fans saw over the course of their relationship that it wasn't always smooth sailing to get to their wedding day. Still, Katie noted, we would be lying to ourselves if we said everything is great, but it is significantly a lot better. Even as they work through the ups and downs of being newlyweds, they are already thinking about the next step of starting a family.
Oh my God.
It's all part of the big picture, Katie said. I think right now we're on the brinks of some exciting stuff. She added, the future has become less hypothetical and more real. It's been fun and exciting and a lot less scary than I thought it would be. And being married has definitely changed the way Tom views planning the future. We've always been very ambitious, at least vaguely ambitious. That's what I like to say, he said. I'm vaguely ambitious. But now that I'm married, we're starting to think about having a family and starting to think about kids. We're focused on the future now and excited about it. Back in the day, I think I was scared of the future.
Well, that's sweet. That's a nice...
It's profound.
It's, yeah. And I think it's nice that they're being honest about it, because I really do think, especially... after you get married, it's, you know, there's a tendency to, I mean, I have to say I never understood the sort of people, and maybe especially women, like being so kind of attached to the idea of marriage per se.
Yeah.
Like the wedding and like the whole thing. So I think it's like the fact that... they're now dealing sort of with the aftermath, and they're admitting that there's like, it's not just like happily ever after, is I think kind of nice, and mm-hmm. maybe like tells people that it's work and it's not automatic.
Yeah.
I think and that's why I love it. That's why I love the show, because it shows us that really the struggles people have interpersonally,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny to say that it's like honest about it, but in a way.
But
it
yeah,
is.
In a way, it is like realistic.
Yeah.
At least like the acknowledgement, because mm-hmm. I feel like last season we saw so much of like denial about the problem. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. like, and I think even like on a social media level, like offline from the show, it even was like, there was like denial from Katie and like visceral angry reactions towards mm-hmm. anyone that was like, this relationship is like psychotic.
Yeah.
But now maybe it's like, yeah, it is, but we're married and we're going to make it work.
Right.
And we're in this now.
Right.
And maybe they'll stand the test of time.
Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. They have been together a really long time.
They know each other really well.
They know each other really well.
They're now married, so they're legally bound to each other.
They are.
And what else are you going to do?
Exactly. I was intrigued by the prenup situation last season.
That was truly bone chilling. If real, bone chilling.
Yeah. And very bizarre because like... What were they? What was he trying to protect? Like,
what assets is everyone protecting? In
right.
That? Like, they made it seem like they literally had like $200 in right. their checking accounts
yeah.
and like no money saved. So it's right. like, who's, but I don't know.
I mean, and it's funny too because like, Schwartz is so at least allegedly averse to being kind of like ambitious and forward thinking, and I'm like, I'm moving forward with my life and whatever. I have these plans to, you know, whatever his plans are. So like, what is he, how is he thinking he's going to make millions that he'll need to protect? It was very weird.
But I'm also like, maybe he comes from money of some sort because he doesn't work that much. It seems
yeah.
like,
yeah. Do you think he comes from money with,
I don't
like-
know. I mean, he does, I don't know what he does for a job. I guess like he does get paid to be on a reality show.
Right.
So that's a source of income. And he gets paid to have modeling jobs. And I guess LA is just a place where you can get paid and do nothing kind of.
Right. Like, I mean, they probably now they do probably like a lot of Instagram.
They do Instagram
promotions.
And
they
like,
host.
They host
they
events.
They host events.
So there's in there's money
there's
rolling
income,
in.
But like yeah. how much really that you need to protect from your new wife, who's but, probably also doing exactly the same thing.
So yeah. But also it's like, I would love to know, I would just love to know the truth. Cause I feel like, and I feel, I wonder if they feel conflicted about this. Cause I feel like Lisa's narrative for the cast is like their lives are messy and they're broke and like they have her to
right.
thank for everything.
Yeah.
But now they're kind of building out their own personal brands mm-hmm. and getting their own things going. So that narrative doesn't work anymore. Like when we see them being like humiliated at the prenup signing or
yeah.
whatever, like there's something about that that's really gratifying to watch because you're like, I knew it, I knew they only had $5,
right?
But then at the same time you're like, there's no way that they only
right.
have $5 because
right.
they're on the show and like this whole thing is happening.
Yeah.
So like, where's the truth? And do you think that, I wonder if they are like, if they get mad that the truth is being hidden, like if they're successful
right.
and like they have to still play into these roles, or if they're just like, whatever, I don't care.
Remember when there was this profile on Jax in like
Complex.
Yeah.
yeah.
And he was like, he said something. I don't remember what he said. I'm sure I'm misquoting, but it was something unbelievable. Like, I could have retired long ago. Like I'm a
yeah.
millionaire many times over. Like, so, like
yeah.
some claim, it wasn't that, but like some claim that was so preposterous. I'm not saying he's not making money. I'm sure he's making money, but it was like,
yeah,
listen, I could right now leave mm-hmm. LA because
it's like
I've
I can
already
move to
made,
Florida.
I can move to Florida and live off my earnings for the rest of my life without like lifting a face. You know, just something
yeah.
like, and I was like, really? Like, I mean, maybe, probably not.
Who knows?
It's all mysterious.
It's so mysterious.
Which I think also just speaks to like, I mean, among many other things, it also speaks to like America's like intense interest in the financial aspect of things and also complete kind of denial and like refusal to speak about money and how much people are making and
mm-hmm.
like, where does money come from? Like, are your parents rich? Like, do you come from, are you actually like, did you climb your way up from poverty and you're hustling? Like, somehow it's like the hidden component. Somehow you're supposed to live your life and you see it on Instagram too. You're like, wait, like, how is this person like
living
in Mexico
life.
Again? Like living this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
Instagram has compounded that. Like it's made it
yeah.
more in your face where you're just like, who, what, why, when, how,
right.
where, like,
right.
How is
yeah.
every time I open Instagram.
Yeah.
But that is like, maybe the mystery and keeping that mystery in Vanderpump Rules is better than knowing the truth.
Right. I don't know if I can handle the truth.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can either. Because I Googled their net worth, which seemed way like overblown, but it was like, it was shocking to see.
Right. Like, what did it say?
I think it said like Sheena is worth like 80,000. It said James Kennedy was worth like in the six figures, like 200,000 or something, or like 400,000.
Right.
Which I'm like, maybe he got like an inheritance from George Michael's passing.
Right.
But like
the godfather, his godfather, Uncle George.
And so it was just kind of like all shocking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just shocking. No matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'll be shocked.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Someone else posted, so you come to LA like once or twice a year, right?
Yeah.
And you love it here.
I love it. And I love it because it's so like alien to me, and I'm so like seduced by it. Mm-hmm. In this, probably in the same way that I love watching Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Because it's not a world that I would necessarily like encounter mm-hmm. in real life, like servers in a West Hollywood boite.
Yeah.
But I love it. I'm attracted to like the sort of the flash and like the idiocy, but also like the sexiness of it and all that.
And it's dreamy.
It's so dreamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever live here?
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I have a family and I have a job in New York, so it's, I would. I think I'd be scared to like pull the trigger on that. I mean, apart from just like the technical whatever, like moving my family over, finding a job and all that. I think I also maybe in some ways I prefer to retain it as a place of fantasy rather than a place of realities, because then like I'll be here and then like will I really go to the sweat garage? I mean, I would like to go to the sweat garage. Yeah. But like, is that really me? Like, would I be able? Of course, LA is a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not one thing, but like, yeah. But like, I'm kind of like a, you know, I'm a pale Jew of the East Coast. So I don't know if I'd actually make it work here, but maybe. I'm not discounting it. I love it here.
And the magic could wear off. Like you could,
the magic
find
could
that
wear
it,
off because then, you know, how even when I come visit, like sometimes, you know, I'm driving and like the sun is like beating down and you see people like walking on Melrose or something. And it just suddenly I realize like how LA could be really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It can be really oppressive. Like at certain times, like on, and it just is like, it kind of like ebbs and flows in that way where it's like some days you're just like, oh my God, it's so hot outside. And like, why is it this hot? It's like November, October.
Yeah.
And you just like have to go to CVS and like.
Right. And you go to CVS and it like, it smells like, the air smells like a cigarette.
Yeah. And like the line is like 20 people long and there's like one person that works there and you're just like, oh my God, it's like very overwhelming at times.
Yeah. Do you feel isolated here sometimes?
It's really easy to isolate here. Like, and because I work from home, like mostly, and so I can go days without seeing anyone if I want to live my life that way, and sometimes I do, but it's like it gets scary after like I think 48 hours is like the longest amount of time I can truly spend, and then I'm like, you're being a weirdo, like you need to actually interface with another human being.
Then you're like if I, God forbid, like I died here, like how long would it take to find the body?
Essentially And you're just like, I could go off the radar for like a week and that's kind of just like whatever in LA,
you know?
So it's good that Ryan lives next door, because then that's someone that you can check in with a lot.
Sure. Yeah, that's then, important.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's weird. And like the sun, the everyday sunshine, that can become really oppressive.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Because you wake up and you're like, oh, it's
another
this again.
Same day.
Right, it's the same
of
day.
The exact same weather.
Right.
That's why I love like winter here when it rains. Like this past winter, it was like super rainy and moody. And I just, I love like an LA rain vibe.
Yeah.
Because you just never get it.
Right.
And it feels different and cozier. And
no, I get it. Yeah. I mean, New York is very, can be cozy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's nice that there's differences, but it's also funny to see. I'm wondering if for this season, they're gonna do like an event for towards the premiere, because last year they did a Vander crawl. A bar crawl.
You did that last year?
I did
year.
That, and it was.
Was it fun?
Amazing! It was really fun. Like, I was lucky enough, because I am the preeminent intellectual Vanderpump Rules, America's preeminent expert. I'm not really, but I got on their list, and now they invite me to like whatever publicity events they
have.
Did
they send you the like publicity tchotchkes and like?
Not, well, they did. Yeah, actually they did.
They sent you like Sir wine glasses and shot glasses.
Wasn't shot glasses. It was sort of like, it wasn't wine flutes. It was just like sort of tall glasses. Tall tumblers with like sir and gold on them. And I know. The conceit was that I was Katie's bridesmaid. Like that was the conceit.
Oh,
so like,
yeah.
I got sent a box.
Yeah.
I would imagine that men, journalists got a groomsman thing, or so, and it was a handwritten note from Katie. I was like, I screamed when I saw it.
Yeah.
It was so amazing when I got it at work, and it was like, and I hung it up. It's still like in my cubicle. It was like, dear Nomi, thanks, my best girl, for always being there for me. I would really love to invite you to celebrate like me and Tom's, you know, like nuptials or something. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to like go on this journey with you, XOXO Katie. And so it had, so what did I get? So it was like four glasses. It was a sort of, it was, there was a necklace with an N on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. They really, it was like really high end. Yeah.
Did you get a candle?
No, it wasn't a candle. Oh, I got this sort of like kind of slutty top, which I wear as pajamas that said...
Like a tank top?
A tank top, but it was...
A low cut.
A low cut, you know, sort of booby tank top.
That, is it from like Dylan's candy bar?
No, it said on it, friends in gold. It's black and it says in gold, friends don't let friends Vanderpump alone.
True.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I love it. So it was just like the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I got a cookie or something, like a sort of like a custom cookie with like, I may be making this up, but the cookie part. But anyway, it was an incredible thing.
Wow.
And then there was the Vanderkrall. And so I got to meet a lot of them. And I am going to go on record. I already have in like other contexts, but the women, the girls, the mm-hmm. Vanderpump ladies all looked so good.
Yeah.
They are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like in a way that doesn't necessarily always figure on TV.
The camera does not do them justice. Like,
no,
remember when I saw Ariana for the first time.
She's gorgeous.
She's stunning.
She's stunning. They're all stunning. Like, who was there? Katie was, all of them, I guess. Well, Sheena, I don't think... Well, I didn't talk to Sheena. She must have been there, but I didn't see her sort of face to face.
She's an elusive.
She's an elusive figure, yeah. a sprite, you mm-hmm. know, a forest elf. But Ariana, Stassi, Kristen, and Katie, I just couldn't, like, when I said hi, maybe I didn't say hi to Stassi, but I did see her. But when I like interfaced with them, I couldn't stop myself from saying, you look so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, you're so beautiful tonight. It was so creepy.
I'm sure they loved it though.
Yeah, but it was true. I was 100% sincere. Their skin was luminous. Like they just looked great.
They
looked
great.
Their bodies
looked
sick. Like it was really,
What's fascinating to me too is like I met Stassi for the first time when she and Katie and Kristen all came on Pump Podcast together.
Oh.
And I was really shocked because like they're all in good shape. Like they look great.
Yeah.
And Stassi like was bragging about how she never works out. She I think Kristen or someone made her go to a workout class. It was like the first time she's been in years and she just hates working out. And I'm just like, wow, like how do you guys live your lives
I don't know.
Like this?
That's really a mystery. And also with the amount that they drink.
Yeah.
Or at least it seems that they drink.
I think they drink a lot.
Yeah. It's
it's shocking. It's facialist? Is it just if you have like the right amount of Botox and fillers, you just kind of
But the
like,
body.
The
like,
body is look, tight.
Yeah. It looks tight. It looks great. More power to them. I mean, I would say it's probably kind of hard to retain over time, I guess. And I sort of loved, or I didn't love it, but I found it interesting that there was the period when Stassi like sort of came back from New York and she had gained mm-hmm. weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also remember when she said like maybe on her podcast or something that she was doing like basically speed, like the whole like first and second season.
Yeah.
So that's like why Adderall. She was like Adderall. Yeah. And that's why she was like so kind of really skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting to me that she was a little bit heavier. And that was the season where her power was gone.
Yeah.
And she had to sort of like crawl back, like begging to become part of the group. And it seemed to me that like an integral part of her debasement had to do with like her shifting body.
True.
Where like she was like the hot one before, you know.
And she was a queen bee of the group.
She was the queen bee. She was like, I'm the hottest. I'm like really young, like I, you know, everybody like wants a piece of me. I'll tell everyone what to do. And then she like left, came back, like was debased, had to like crawl back. And that was like in direct correspondence to the fact that she'd gained weight as well. And I thought that was really, you know, disturbing and just like,
it is
interesting.
And, yeah. And like, cause I think like the people that bring that up the most, or especially last season, are like James Kennedy and like Lala or whatever.
Right.
And then there's like a whole body
with, like,
shaming.
With like Katie with a body shaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that shit. It's,
but like, what's also interesting, thinking back to the beginning of season three and like the shift of power dynamics, is that like you ended season two with Kristen being like slut shamed within an inch of her life.
Right.
Like, how she survived that, like I'll never know. Like,
I know.
She truly is a warrior for going through that and coming out the other side. But then like somehow Stassi was kind of the one that was wronged per se.
Right.
But then she also is then the one that's like excommunicated.
Right.
But I think she excommunicated herself.
Yeah.
And I can't really fault her for that, because if I had found out that bomb like got dropped in my circle of friends, I would also be like, maybe I shouldn't be around these people.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, then they always come back.
They come back because it's just too good.
Yeah.
I think it must be like too sweet,
and
it
the
must
nectar be of the gods.
The nectar of the gods, and it must be really hard to get used to life without it once you've had it.
Well, yeah. What would you do? You just, I mean, you go from being like cameras in your face, and you kind of like your hijinks are celebrated, and you're told like you're fabulous. I mean, like Stassi's fans are like rabid fans for her. Like they stand hard for her.
Yeah.
And so if you just leave all that, then just like, you're just living in New York.
I know. And you're like, and it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy.
You're writing on the Pandora's blog.
Exactly. Which I, the, fuck, what's it called? The high, not the high society.
Oh my God. What was it called?
What was it called? The divine,
divine addiction.
The divine addiction, divine addiction. Wow.
God. Oh my God.
Wow. Is it still ongoing?
I don't think so.
I sort of admire Pandora for, you know, she seems to be doing well.
Yeah. I think she's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pandora's really like, she's cornered the market. Like, it's, I feel like she's going to pick up where Lisa has left off. She's like being groomed for
She's groomed.
I don't worry about her.
Like, I don't worry about her. Fine. She's very solid. I'm a little bit worried about Max.
I'm worried about Max. He's just kind of a TBD.
Yeah.
But as long as he's working at Sir and like consistently maintaining that job, I worry a little bit less.
Yeah. No, I think he's fine.
Like someone went there recently and was like, Max was our server.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, but like also that I feel like comforted to know.
Yeah,
that.
I'm comforted. He has a place there. I wonder if he's still pals with DJ James Kennedy.
I think they're like always going to be friends.
DJ James Kennedy is perhaps the least sympathetic cast member, wouldn't you say? Or do you have a soft spot for DJ James?
I have a soft spot for DJ James because I think like we got to have some really good glimpses of like his home life and like his
with
mom.
The mom.
And I think his mom is like truly so psychotic that I felt like a lot of empathy for James, because I was like, he clearly grew up in like kind of a chaotic household. Yeah. He's very insecure. Like I feel for him.
Yeah.
I think he's a tortured soul.
I think he lashes out.
Yeah.
He lashes out. He does. Mm-hmm. But some of the things he says are inexcusable.
Yeah.
And like awful. His outlook on life is just so terrible. It's like maybe the sort of like cruelest Darwinistic, you know, like woman hating. It's just like really bad.
He's bad. Yeah.
He's really bad.
And like spitting when he spit at Kristen.
When he spit on the door.
He can be like really vile.
Yeah.
But it's all coming from a place of like deep hurt.
It's deep hurt.
Yeah.
It's deep hurt for sure. What do we think? What do we see for Lala this season? What are
I think
we thinking?
That she's like, she is out with her relationship with the producer.
Yeah.
And
Roland. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, she's fully like Instagram storing his arrival on private jets and their like PDA. And
I really like that she posted I think it was on Twitter. This was a couple of weeks ago. She was like, to all my haters, I will continue while you like, you know, talk shit about me. I will continue to thrive. I'm just give them Lala, you know, I'm just getting bigger and better. But my favorite thing that she said was, I'm going to continue to drive foreign and fly private.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have nothing but like, I think Lala's doing it right.
Yeah.
She kind of took this, she took the role.
She also operates from a world of hurt, I feel like. And she says that.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, the moments where she's like, kids didn't want me to come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wait for my mom to pick me up because I was like the outcast. I feel for her. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I think that's like part of the reason she's so like hypersexual now is yeah. because maybe she was like, had like ugly duckling syndrome or something like
right.
that, where it's like, she was bullied so bad and then now she's like hot and has something to prove.
Yeah.
But I think that she kind of did, she's doing what Sheena, I think, maybe wanted to try and do, but couldn't.
Well, she was with Shay.
She was with Shay, but she was with Eddie Cibrian before.
Oh, you mean even before the show?
Yeah. Remember, that's kind of how she came into the fold, was that Brandy found out that Sheena was working for Lisa.
Yes, that was a crossover. It was a backdoor pilot.
Mm-hmm. And so like, I feel like
they tried to pull that same trick with Summer House, by the way. Did not work.
I was not
what a fail.
It. Yeah. A total fail.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see a bunch of like Aryans on a beach in like
losers.
New York. Like, I just can't do yeah. like, I'm like, I have enough going
the
on.
The drama
in my life.
Was so dull.
Yeah. It didn't seem like they're not pulling real Vanderpump.
Yeah. No, that's as Spencer Pratt has told me, not about Vanderpump, but about Laguna Beach, that they used to say that Laguna Beach was lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this is true as well for Vanderpump.
Very true.
Yeah.
Does Spencer watch Vanderpump Rules?
You know what? I haven't. I don't think he does. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him about it.
It would be interesting to know if like other, because I feel like do you watch other reality
yeah,
shows?
I mean, I definitely know he watches other reality
yeah.
shows. I just
watches, like, he, The Bachelor and stuff.
He watches he's really into the Kardashians.
Okay.
He was really into Siesta Key this season.
Okay.
Which was,
I didn't watch that.
Oh, it's really good.
It's really good.
I loved it.
Okay. Yeah. I heard a lot of people that I trust their taste and stuff talking
yeah.
about it and tweeting
about
it.
I mean, it's so dull in a way.
But so was The Hills.
Right. But
the Hills
then,
was
like people are such like, they're such meatheads. Like,
yeah.
Especially the main guy who's like the hunk.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the A-Rod of the group.
Mm-hmm.
He's
nightmare.
Nightmare. His head is a literal cube. It's like a cube of meat. Alex. He's the king of Siesta Key. Everybody knows about Alex. He
yeah.
has a boat. His dad is like, the dad made the pilot. The dad
okay.
bankrolled the pilot because he was like, my son is like, he fucks and, you know, and let's just put that on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love a parent bankrolling like a creative project.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a passion project.
Yeah. Total passion.
And the
project.
Dad also plays kind of like, kind of a too significant part in the proceed. Like, what's weird on this show is that they're literally like in their early 20s. They're not even, it's not like Laguna when they're 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, most of them live at home and like the parents are really on camera all the time. And I'm like, what is this? Is this the new trend where like
that
kids,
feels like really millennial, right?
It's very weird. And like
they're not, are they in college?
Well,
or are they post college?
Some of them are post college. Some of them didn't go to college. And then, yeah, but they're like, say like 21 or 22 mm-hmm. or something. And it's always the mom saying like, so how are things going with Brandon? And the girl is
my God.
I don't know. He's really nice to me.
Do they have a lot of staring off into the distance?
A lot of staring into the distance.
That's like classic MTV reality
yeah.
show.
A lot of
it's beautifully
slow-mo,
shot too, right?
Beautifully shot. A lot of slow-mo, like really extended, like sort of silent,
mm-hmm.
like brain dead slash like really deep,
thought.
You know, yeah,
yeah.
deep thoughts.
Oh my God.
I wish I found Alex more attractive. I feel like that would really make the show, like, take it to the next level for me.
But you just don't. You know what?
I just don't. Mm-hmm. Alex, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
Who's the most attractive to you out of the Vanderpump? Like, if you had
if I had my druthers?
Yeah, if you had your druthers, who would you have a romantic liaison with?
Well, I mean, I would probably say, I mean, again, the most, like, real life, probably, mm-hmm. it would probably be Schwartz. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Katie. It's not.
You're an enemy now.
No, I'm not. I'm really. This is totally.
You're actually not, because if she listened to this, she would know that you were advising him to go through with it.
Yeah, totally. No, yeah. I'm in support of the relationship. I hope they're happy. But just, like, theoretically speaking, I feel like it would probably be Schwartz, mm-hmm. because he has that sort of Britpop look that yeah. I at least used to like. Mm-hmm. So maybe that. But I have to say. I mean, Jax is, like, so gross to me, but I have to say, the couple of times I saw him in real life, I think I understood.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
It's an interaction thing, mm-hmm. and you get, like, sucked in, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising,
mm-hmm.
because he's, he's just sexually very magnetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a sexual magnet.
I would say probably Schwartz.
Love.
What about you?
I mean, if I'm being honest, like, mm-hmm. I've had such a push-pull with Jax over the years.
Yeah.
He's like my white whale almost. I want so badly to tame him.
Right.
But I know it can't be.
It can't be.
And I know he would torture me in just the very specific ways that I love to be tortured by men.
Yes.
And he fits all the boxes.
And it doesn't matter how much of a moron he is.
No.
It kind of is cute. Yeah, it makes no difference.
It doesn't matter
to you when you're like, I'm like 1,000 times smarter than this fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And yet
you can still loll together, because I think he does loll.
Sure.
And he lolls. I think that there's just something about Jax. No matter how badly I want to escape it, if I had to be brutally honest, like, I would.
I get it.
Yeah.
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 I get it. It's Jax.
But it's something I'm just, like, working on constantly.
I know, because it's a larger project. It's a larger journey for you. And I understand that.
It's a journey of self-discovery and trying to, like, push through the Jax and get to a place more of, like, a Sandoval, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Sandoval is, like, I could see him. He's, like, loyal and, you know, he wants to do the right thing. He doesn't mm-hmm. always do the right thing, but he wants to.
He's passionate.
He's really passionate. And... Yeah, Jax also has, like, he's a liar, which is very attractive.
Yeah.
He's a liar. He's, like, clearly, like, had gay sex for pay,
mm-hmm.
you know?
He's sexually, like, open to
he's
a lot of things.
He's promiscuous.
Yeah.
He's adventurous.
He has, like, a dark past he could tell you about. Like, he could confess some things to you.
I know. And you'd
feel like a false sense of intimacy.
Exactly. And like, then, you'd feel like you're making progress with
him. Yeah. And then 2 days later, he, like, fucks you over so hard. And you're like, what the fuck? Like,
I know. What happened?
You just told me about John from Miami and your whole relationship. Like, you cried in my arms 2 nights ago. I love that.
I love that in a man.
I'm so here for that.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear you. It's a beautiful thing. And with Schwartz, I would say I'm attracted to his weakness, to his wishy-washiness, mm-hmm. to his here today, gone tomorrow shenanigans.
Yeah. His laissez-faire attitude.
I mean, you know, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I could also, I feel like the biggest, like, the guy who negs the most is probably DJ James Kennedy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, but with him, the cycle is, like, literally, I feel like with him, he'll work to get you to have sex with him, but there will be no, the, that, that will also be the moment it ends. Yeah. Like, there's not going to be, with Jax, I feel like what you said is really true, that it would be like a recursive thing, mm-hmm. where like he would like be intimate, then fuck you over, then be intimate again, but and he'd kind of like hook you into that cycle.
Yeah.
And with DJ James Kennedy, I feel like it would be like he'd be really mean to you, but also then say like, you're cute.
Yeah. Or something. It'd be like a one and done thing.
One and done.
And he's like more outwardly abusive.
He's so abusive.
And so, and I'm not really into that. I'm more of like a right. abuse me psychologically.
You're into mind games.
Yeah, I'm so into mind games. Yeah. I'm a man.
Right. There's
make me think that we have like a really deep connection.
And then and just then like at the last apart. Minute to yeah. just pull the rug from under my feet.
Yeah.
I get it. There's this Mary Gateskill story, which is all about actually this confusion between wanting to be like literally abused and wanting to be played with. Mm-hmm. It's called A Romantic Weekend. And it's this woman who's like weak, wants to be dominated. There's this horrible guy. She's like, he's going to abuse me. I'm going to love it. Meaning like he's going to be mean to me and then nice to me and then mean to me. And then he takes her. He's married, of course. He mm-hmm. takes her to his grandmother's empty apartment in D.C. And basically he wants to have like S&M sex with her, which she's open to. But he just basically wants to abuse, like fully abuse her.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, no, no. You don't understand. I want you to abuse me, but I also want you to be nice to me. So mm-hmm. like, you know,
it has to be.
So there's a confusion about the terms.
Yeah.
So that's basically like Jax and DJ James Kennedy. Those mm-hmm. are the two faces of those impulses.
They are. Yeah. I'm gonna read that story. Yeah. It sounds it's right good. Up my alley. Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you yeah. so much for being here.
Oh my God. This was a dream.
This was a dream come true for me too. And you have to, like, if you go to a Vanderpump event, or we'll find a way to check in over the course of this season, because I want to yes. know your thoughts. And
oh my God, I'm so excited for this season.
Are you like host? Do you watch? You watch alone?
I watch alone.
You watch on an iPad, which I also.
I know. I know because, well, now actually, since last season, we got a projector and a pull down
oh,
screen.
Yeah.
So I feel like this season it's all going to be like
chic.
Big.
It's all about
the big screen. So maybe I'll invite people this season. Usually oh God, I sort fun. Of watch alone.
Yeah.
Or with my husband, but yeah which I force him to watch, but
oh, yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lara. And this
now
was incredible.
On to the bonus episode.
Oh, hooray.
Bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know I know.